We're going to be in Matthew chapter number 6. I do desire your prayers. So I didn't get the call that I was going to preach till 11 o'clock this morning. Which, for some people, that might be all right. But 11 o'clock this morning is the middle of the night for me. I work nights now. So I was sleeping. He interrupted my sleep. But the things of God are more important than sleep, and I'll be all right. Matthew chapter number 6. I will tell you this, when he called, and even though I was half asleep, as soon as he asked, and I okayed it with my pastor, I believe in obeying the pastor, so I called my pastor for permission first. But as soon as I okayed it with my pastor, God pointed me right to where we needed to go this evening, and some of the things that took place this evening in the service already began to set the stage for where we're going. I love to watch God work and prepare for the message. I don't usually even tell my wife what I'm going to preach, even if she's going to sing. I don't tell her because I don't want personal opinion to get in the way of God choosing what needs to be done. And God always orders the service. He always puts things in place. This evening, I want to take just a few moments, and hopefully I won't take very long. It is Wednesday night, and it's late. Some of us need to go to bed. Some of us need to go back to work. But I want to talk just a few moments, if we may, and look at a few things. It won't be nothing new, and it won't be nothing you've never heard before, but it's something we need to be reminded of. And if I can, maybe put just a little bit of a personal touch on it to open our eyes, and I want to take a look at prayer this evening. As we went through the different prayer requests this evening, there's a lot of people in this service that are facing some very difficult times. They're facing losing their jobs. Some of them already lost their jobs. And if there's one thing we need in our life, it's prayer. And I'm going to go ahead and give you the conclusion of my message now so that you'll already have it. So if the message gets screwed up by my flesh, you'll already have the point. The point is this. As complicated as we try to make prayer, prayer is nothing more than a personal relationship, a personal communication with your Father. Me and my wife were discussing it just the other day. Prayer is the most simple thing, but yet so complex. It's our flesh that makes it complex. And we're going to look through the Lord's Prayer. We're only going to cover the first verse. And we're simply going to see that prayer is dealing with our Heavenly Father. When we are talking to God, we are talking to our Father. We can talk to Him in the same way as we would talk to our earthly father. The only difference between the two is our Heavenly Father is not limited by this old world. You see, we have in our minds of our dads that they're the strongest people, that they can do anything. And we, as we're kids, we'll get in arguments with our friends that my dad can whoop your dad, and my dad can even whoop your mama. But we have a Heavenly Father that we can have that same relationship with, and He's so much stronger. And He really can whoop the mama. That's who we deal with. When we get on our knees before God, we are not talking to God. We are talking to our Father who just happens to be God. And if we can grab a hold of that, you talk about a tremendous prayer life. You talk about a tremendous blessing to realize that I can talk to my dad about anything. I don't believe that it's irreverent for us when we go to God in prayer to simply say, Dad. I believe that's the relationship that God wants. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 9. The Lord's Prayer, the Bible says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We thank you for the privilege that we have to meet here this evening, Lord, and the opportunity to study your word. For so much more than that, we thank you that we can call you Father. You didn't bring us in as servants, even though we didn't even deserve to be that much. You adopted us into your family. Lord, I ask you, help us to understand that, Lord. Help us to draw on that this evening. See the relationship involved in prayer. Use me this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. I must be honest with you this evening, the study that we're going to look at is not my original work. This is a study that my dad did, and I borrowed his notes, and I've been studying this since November of last year. He did this study on Wednesday night, and it took him 6 months just to skim across the Lord's Prayer on a Wednesday night Bible study. About 3 months ago, he went back and did another 6 months study on prayer in his church. And they still haven't scratched the surface of what prayer is. When Brother Brian had his surgery back in late November, I got to cover about a month and a half of Wednesday night services. And I only covered the first part of the Lord's Prayer where it says, Our Father, which art in heaven. That's as far as I could get in about 5 or 6 weeks of studying. But I've been looking at this on a personal level and in a personal study because I want to get to know God. The whole purpose of our Christian walk is to get to know God. God placed us on this earth. God placed Adam and Eve in the garden not because He wanted to have some toys to play with. He placed them there to have a relationship with them. But because of sin, because of man's failure, the relationship was broken. But God, not willing that any should perish, provided a way to repair that communication. And if we work hard enough to develop that relationship back, we can get as close to God on earth as possible. And you'll find your earthly walk is so much better. Here in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 9, He's given us a model prayer. And we need to understand, first of all, that this is a model prayer. Oftentimes we teach this to our kids. We teach them to pray this prayer. And so they repeat this prayer many of times. But the Bible teaches against vain repetition. Now, if you can pray these words from your heart, you can pray those words, and there's nothing wrong with it. But if it's just repeating a prayer because you think it's the prayer that you're supposed to pray, then it's just talking. Prayer is communicating with God. God is not so much interested in the words that we say, but He's interested in the intents of our heart. He wants to hear from the heart. So that's why I say, if you can pray that prayer from your heart, then it's okay to pray that prayer. But if it's not coming from your heart, you need to leave that prayer alone and use it for its proper purpose. It's used for a model. A model is a representation, something to follow. So when we teach our kids to pray, we don't need to teach them the Lord's Prayer. We need to teach them how to pray. They need to understand that prayer is talking to God. When we take somebody to the altar to lead them to the Lord, we need to make sure that they understand they are talking to God and they are talking from the heart. I'm not real big on a repeat this prayer salvation because people begin to depend upon some words that they say instead of what took place within the heart. And that's where we've got to start, is the heart. So if we can understand what prayer is, if we can understand the tender relationship of prayer, then maybe we can learn to pray properly. And a proper prayer is a prayer that's prayed from the heart. Jesus starts teaching His prayer, not here in verse number 9, but it begins in the previous chapters. He begins to tell us how not to pray. He talks about the hypocrites in the synagogue. He's talking about the Pharisees as they stood in the synagogue and they prayed out loud so that others could hear. So first, in order for us to understand what prayer is, we need to understand what prayer is not. You know the story of the Pharisee and the publican, how they came into the temple to pray, and the Pharisee stood off in the middle of the room, and he prayed out loud so that everybody could hear him, and he was thanking God how he was not like everybody else. He was looking for public praise. That's one of the reasons that when we have an altar of prayer, unless I'm specifically asked to lead in prayer, I usually don't pray out loud. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying out loud, and I want you to understand that. But many a times when we start praying out loud, we begin to think what the person beside us is hearing. When we are asked to bless the offering, we want to say something that sounds good, and so we quit praying and we start rehearsing a speech. So when I am at altar of prayer, unless I'm leading the prayer, I usually don't pray out loud because I don't want my flesh to get into the way. I want to have a communication with God. Our prayers so easily become vain repetition, and I'll give you the perfect example of that. When we ask the blessing over the food, if I was to ask the question and you were to raise your hand, how many of us would raise our hand saying that every time we ask blessing over the food, we say pretty much the same thing? Now, if we're meaning it from the heart, that's okay. But let me show you what takes place when you're asking grace. You go down to McDonald's, and I'm going to use McDonald's because I work there and I know what kind of food is there. You get you that double quarter pounder with cheese. It's dripping with grease. Heart attack on a bun. You say, Lord, bless this food from my body. You're about to eat something that's not very good for you. You better ask God to bless it to your body because that's the only way it's going to is if God helps it. But it becomes a vain repetition. We just throw it out there because we think we're supposed to. But prayer is not just throwing things out there. Yes, we're supposed to thank God for our food, but if we're just doing it because we're supposed to, then we're not thanking God for our food. We're just repeating something that we do all the time. We're just following a routine and a schedule. We're trying to impress somebody. Or maybe we're being a little bit spiritual and we're trying to teach our kids that they're supposed to bless their food too. So you're becoming a hypocrite in front of your kids. It's communicating with God. So when you have somebody stand to bless the food and they're blessing in public and they play for 20 minutes, ask God to bless the food, are they praying or are they trying to show off how good they can speak? So sometimes saying, Lord, just bless this food through my body is the right prayer if it's from the heart. If praying 20 minutes from the heart, that's fine too, as long as it's from the heart. It's not vain repetition. We do it in church all the time. Stand, bless the offering. Preachers are terrible for it. They preach a message. At the end of the message, they say, let's pray, and then they preach for another 20 minutes while they pray. Are they praying or are they preaching? That's for them to decide. It's between them and God. But I just want us to see, it's vain repetition many a times when we pray. Even on Wednesday nights when we get down on our knees, many a times it's just vain repetition, just repeating names. The Bible teaches us that we are supposed to ask God what we are to pray for. So if we get down on our knees and we just rattle off all the names that were mentioned on Wednesday night, maybe there was just one specific person that God wanted you to pray for. Maybe it was somebody that wasn't even mentioned. We need to see what God wants us to talk about. Maybe there's something in your life you need to deal with before you can start dealing with other people. If there's a hindrance in your life, your prayers may be wasted. There may be interference. You may not quite be tuned in. So the Bible teaches that when we pray, we are to ask God what to pray for. If a person was to stand up in church and say, God, what do I need to pray for? And then he starts praying, I'd have to go shake that man's hand. Because he's following what the Bible says. Now, if we're walking with God, if we have a proper relationship with God, when it comes time to pray, we'll already be in tune with God and we'll know what to pray. But if we get ready to pray, if somebody asks us to pray, or we're supposed to bless the food, or it's our time to pray early in the morning, whenever you pray, you get on your knees and you have to think about what the words are, maybe it's time to start thinking and start listening because maybe God wants to talk. Prayer is communication. And in order to communicate, we have to stop talking. If you get me on the right subject, I can talk all day long and you can just stand there and listen. But we're not having a conversation. You're listening to a speech that I'm giving on whatever we're talking about. In order for us to have a conversation, I need to talk, you need to talk, and we both need to listen. Prayer is the same way. We need to reach out and get a hold of God, and then we need to stop talking and say, God, what do I need? And listen for that still small voice. I'll tell you from personal experience that if you put yourself in a position saying, God, you direct my life, you tell me what you need to pray for, and when you need me to pray for it, you'll put yourself for a tremendous ministry, and you'll be used of God in a tremendous way like you'll never know. You'll have insights to things that are going to take place that some people are not aware of. Some of it's kind of hard to take. There's been times when I've been asked to pray for somebody because they was on their way to the hospital, and I've been told the doctor says everything's probably going to be okay, but we need to pray anyways. They're going to the hospital. We need to pray for them. And I get ready to pray, and I just happen to have my life right that day so God can talk to me a little bit, because I'm flesh and blood too, and I'm rarely in the right place. And God will direct me saying, I don't need you to pray for that person. I need you to pray for their family. And then I get a phone call later saying that person has passed away. They didn't need prayer. The family did. You see, if we're walking with God and we understand what prayer is, then God will have us pray for the correct things. As much as we would like to get on our hands and knees and pray that God would heal certain people, it might not be God's will for that individual to be healed. It may be more important that you pray for that person's soul or a family member standing by that needs salvation. And if we're not in tune to what we need to be praying for, we may miss an opportunity to be a part of somebody getting saved. You say, if I don't pray for that person, they won't get saved? That's a possibility. I don't know. I believe that if that person is supposed to get saved, that despite of our failures, God will work a way for them to be saved. But that's a reward that you will miss out in heaven. If we're not following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we're out of the will of God, and we're missing opportunities to be used of God. It's the same way in a church service. We've seen it many times in Jubilee, just since I've been back from Louisiana, of how there's been a warfare going on in the service, and Brother Barry asked us to pray so that the Spirit of God could take over the service. And if you don't get on our hands and knees and begin to pray at that time, we may not get the service. And if we do get the service and you didn't pray, you'll miss out on that reward. You see, it's not Brother Barry's job to sit up here and pray for the service by himself. It's up to each individual person. But at the same time, we've got to understand what we need to be praying for. We need to be praying that God did work in my life because I'm busy thinking about my job instead of what the service is. Maybe I'm the hindrance. Or maybe God will impress upon your heart that the person sitting next to you needs to be saved. I've been in services in this church where God put it upon my heart to pray for somebody. I didn't even know who they were. God just kind of pointed them out, and I began to pray, and I found out later on that they got saved. Because I happened to have my life right that day. Now, what if I was busy thinking about my job? Or what if I was busy thinking about my garden that I need to get planted? I would have missed out on an opportunity to be a part of that person's salvation. I didn't get them saved, but God allowed me to be a part of it. God opened my eyes to some things, and He didn't do it because I was a preacher. He did it because I was open that night. And He can put you in that same place. So prayer is not a thing for show. It's not for vain reputation. It's communication with God. But I want to look at who we're communicating with, and I'm getting way ahead of myself. That's okay. We're just going to follow the Spirit of the Lord this evening. We have three relationships that are showed to us here in the first part of the Lord's Prayer. And this is what I wanted to talk about this evening. The first part of the Lord's Prayer is Our Father, which art in heaven. In that sentence, there are three relationships within that prayer. You see, you can pull three relationships out of one sentence. When you're a preacher, you can pull a lot out of a little bit. You know, God can feed 5,000 with five fish, or two fish and five loaves of bread. I can pull three relationships out of a sentence. There's three relationships in that first phrase of Our Father. And this is what took me 5 weeks to get through on a Wednesday night Bible study. And I'm just going to have to fly across the top of it, hopefully to give you something for you to take home to study yourself. First relationship we see is the relationship between us and the Father. Second relationship we have is between us and Christ. And then thirdly, there's a relationship between us and others. Now let's take them one by one. The relationship between us and the Father at the point of salvation God does not save us, place us into a servitude relationship. He saves us, and He places us into a family. He says, "You are now my son." You see, we're not even worthy to be called a servant, but God says, I love you too much for that. I love you enough to send my only son to die on the cross for your sin. I'm sure not going to do that for a servant. I'm going to do that for a son. I'm going to become your father. I think about the relationship that I have with my dad. Me and my dad are very close. There's people that I've never met before. They know my dad. I walk up and talk to them, and they say, "You're Burl Adams' son," because they say we're just alike. I think that's an insult. I don't know. Just kidding. But me and my dad are very close. And growing up, I knew that whatever the problem was, my dad could take care of it. I know there was times that when I was scared at night, maybe my parents had left us at home by ourselves where they had to go do something, and I would be afraid because it'd be storming and it'd be dark. And I'd hear somebody rattle on the door, and I'd be terrified. The door would swing open, and it'd be my dad. I knew everything was okay. Because that was my dad. He would take care of me. And growing up, I always had in my mind that my dad could do everything. He was the strongest, and he was the greatest. And in many ways, he's still that way in my eyes, because he is my father. But at the same time, I have to take the Lord's Prayer where it says, "Our Father," and I have to realize that the relationship that I have with my Father is the same relationship that I can have with my Heavenly Father if I simply get in the right place. God said, "I am here. I am your Father. You are accepted. You are saved. You got the blood of my Son in you. You are my Father. You are adopted into the family." Just as the prodigal son, the dad put the ring on his finger and he put the robe on his back and he says, "You are my son. You're not to be a servant." The Heavenly Father does the same thing with us at the point of salvation. He takes that family ring and He places it on your finger, and you're now part of the family of God. And that ring can never be taken off. You see, just no matter what I do, I could go out and kill somebody. I could go out and become the worst person that I could be, and I will still be my Father's son. And God's the same way. He says, no matter how far away from you get, no matter how backsliding you get, no matter how cold you get, you're still going to be my son. And when you turn and come back to me, you'll still have that ring on your finger. You'll still be my child. You won't have to become a servant. I'll place you back where you were, and you'll be my son. And it's not because He has to. It's because He wants to. You see, we were adopted into a family. Since I was born into the Adams family, I am an Adams. And my dad could disown me, but I'm still an Adams. There's no way I can get away from it. I look like him and I act like him. I'm Burl Adams' son. But when you're adopted, the father has a choice. He says, "I choose to accept you into my family. And I choose to keep you in my family. And I will not let you out of my family. You are going to be bound by the blood of my Son, Jesus Christ. You will not get out of my family. And I choose to do that through love." But not only do we have a relationship between us and the Father that we can go to and we can say, "Dad, I have a problem." And He'll take all the powers of heaven to help you with that problem. And we're going to talk more about the Father in a minute. Not only do we have the relationship between us and the Father, we have the relationship between us and Christ. We have an older brother. For those of us who have brothers and sisters, we know how wonderful it is to have an older brother. Now, sometimes it ain't so easy to put up with him. And no matter how mad I get at my older brother, if he was to make a phone call and say, "Stephen, I need you," I would be there just as fast as I could because he's my brother. And the same with my younger brother. If he were to call me and say, "Stephen, there's a problem, I need you to come," I would be there as fast as I could because he is my brother. At the point of salvation, Christ puts His arms around us and He says, "I'm going to save you through my blood. I died on the cross for your sins. I'm going to save you. But beyond that, you are going to be my brother. I will be your older brother. And beyond that, I'm going to take you to my Father's house." And now we say, "Our Father." It is because of Christ that we have the "Our Father." He is our link to God. When I married Megan, I became Megan's link to my dad. Megan can walk into my dad's house any time now, and my dad treats her like a daughter. I honestly think he loves her more than he loves me. I don't think that's fair. But that's the way the Adams family works. Once you are part of the family, you don't get out. He does not see a daughter-in-law. I can tell you the honest truth. Megan is not a daughter-in-law. He is a daughter. She is a daughter. Because that's the way my parents are. And she could leave me and she would still be able to walk into my dad's house and he would still accept her. Because she's part of the family. But she's only that way because of me. I am her link. You see, without me, she's just a girl that walks up into my dad's house. But when we got married, when we stood here at this very altar, and we got married, and then I took her to my dad, and I said, Megan, this is now your father. And the same rewards that I get to receive as being Burl Adams' son, she gets. She could pick up the phone and call my dad, and I guarantee you my dad would come running. She probably sends more texts and emails to my parents than I do. They love her more than me. But she is connected to them, and it's because of me. I am her link. Christ is our link to God. Christ takes us to the throne of grace and says, Dad, this is my son, or this is your son. When you see him, when you see Stephen, you see me. And you treat Stephen the same way you would treat me. And the same rewards and the same benefits that I get as your son, you give them to Stephen. Amen. The same inheritance becomes his inheritance. He is your son. And we are brothers. It's because of Christ that we have access to the Father, and He becomes our Father. So we have access. We have the relationship between us and the Father, and then we have the relationship between us and Christ. And last but not least, we have the relationship between us and others. The point of salvation, Christ says, not only do you get a Heavenly Father, not only do you get an older brother, but everyone else is saved becomes your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right.
When you were once alone, without family, without friends, had nowhere to turn, now you are part of a family to where you have a father, you have an older brother, and you have a whole congregation of family. And when one family member is hurting, we can gather together around that. One person is sharing their burdens. As one person begins to lose their job, we can be there to support them. And some people can even stand up and say, I was there. I've lost my job. I know what you're going through. And the Father will take care of you.
Amen.
Sometimes we have to face these circumstances so that we can be there for the next person to help them face the same circumstance. That's what families do. I was the first to get married in my family. And so now, once I got married, as my other brothers got married, I was able to be there to help them understand what was about to take place. I was able to share my wisdom of being married all of 2 years. I didn't share much. I was able to tell them that you're going to have to trust God or it's not going to work. Been there, done that. Still doing that. I try not to marriage counsel very much because I'm not married long enough to be doing that. But I was able to share a little bit. I understood more than my parents were able to understand maybe about what newlyweds were like because my parents have been married 25 years. It's hard for them to remember newlywed times, you know. And I was able to give a little bit of understanding there. And then I found out that my parents understood more about newlywed times than I understood. But we're able to share in each other's experiences. The joys, the pains, the heartaches, the sorrows, whatever it is we're facing. We have a father that we can take him to. We have an older brother that's going to go with us to the Father. And we have a whole family that if we just allow them to be there, they'll be there for us too. Prayer is a family relationship. Now prayer is a private thing. Prayer in many cases, not only, but many cases should be private between you and God. But when necessary, it's good to get together with others and pray. Together, draw them together and say, look, I'm about to lose my job. I don't know what to do but to turn to God. So let's take this thing to God and see what God's going to do. Next thing you know, you're going to have your brand new job. Or maybe have your old one. Or maybe without a job and you're wondering where the next meal's coming from, but it'll show up. But you'll know that you got a family standing with you. I know that night or day I can make a phone call and I'll have the whole Adams clan show up on my doorstep to help me with my problems. The law would be right behind them, probably, but they would show up. With the family of God, one phone call away, and we have multitudes of people standing behind us in prayer. It starts between a relationship between us and the Father. And if we could only grab a hold of that one. When we pray, we're not talking to God. We're not talking to the Creator of the universe. We're not talking to the Great I Am. We are talking to the Father who happens to be God. If we can only understand that when we get on our knees in prayer, God takes off the mantle of God. God takes off the mantle of the Creator of the universe, and He is nothing but a Father, inclining His ear to hear His child. He is our Father, who happens to be God. When I go talk to my dad, I am not talking to the pastor of the First Baptist Church. I am talking to my dad, who happens to be the pastor of the First Baptist Church. When the president's kids go talk to the president, bless their heart, they're not going to talk to the president. They're talking to their dad, who happens to be the president. And God is the same way. He says, I want you to come to me and simply say Father, or simply say Dad. And He is there to help us with that, and to be there as that Father. My dad wrote a poem when he did his study. His eyes and face we cannot see, but in His ears our words will be. He knows already our every care. The eyes of God are everywhere. He looks with love down from above, with the tenderness of the morning dove. He only waits to hear your cry. He's always ready and standing by. He is God Almighty, there is no other. In love, He says, just call me Father. That's where God is at. Standing on the throne of grace saying, yes, I am the great I Am. I am the Creator of the universe. I am the God of heaven. I am Alpha and Omega. But before all of that, I'm your Father. Your cares are my cares. Your problems are my problems. Bring them to me. Christ stands right beside Him and says, I am your brother. I'll stand beside you. Amen. Sitting in the room right now is Christian after Christian saying, I am your brother and sister in Christ. Let's get together as a family. The times that we are facing look very bleak. It does not look good. I don't know what the future holds. But I know where God is. Standing right by us, saying, just all you gotta do is cry, Dad. I knew growing up that no matter what the problem was, all I had to do was say, Dad, I need your help. And I heard it probably 100 times growing up. Well, Stephen, all you had to do was ask. Many times He had already started fixing the problem for me before I even asked. The Bible tells us that God knows what we have need of before we even ask. He's just standing by saying, I'm your dad. All you got to do is ask. It's a family. If we as Christians could grab a hold of that, we'd find our Christian walk to be so much easier. We'd find our problems, many of them, just to go away, because there's not really a problem there. It's just our lack of faith. We'd find our church services filled more with the Holy Spirit than ever before. Because we would already be in tune with God when we walk through the doors. The Spirit would already be moving within our heart before we even got dressed for church. See, the whole key to our Christian walk, the whole key to a good church, the whole key to revival is, how's the relationship of each individual with God? How close is each individual to the Father? Is your relationship close enough to God that you could look up to heaven and say, Dad? You know, if there comes a problem between you and your earthly father, it's hard for you to go up and say, Dad, I have a problem. If the relationship between you and your father is not right, it's hard to go up and say, I need help. But when that relationship is where it's supposed to be, and that communication is flowing freely, it's so easy to walk up and say, Dad, I need your help.
or even more wonderful than that, in my opinion, is, Dad, I just wanted to say I love you and spend a little time with you. But God doesn't want us just to come when we have a problem. He wants us to come just because He's Dad. Since my dad is 800 miles away, I call him on my phone. Many times I don't have anything to say. I just said, Dad, I called to see how things were going. So I miss being around my dad. Our relationship with God should be there. Where we just get down on our knees sometimes, or maybe in our car, and say, God, it's a wonderful day you gave us today. Father, I just want to thank you for being there. Father, won't you tell me a story? Won't you tell me something I need to hear? Father, won't you tell me something of your experiences? I love to hear my dad talk about his experiences growing up. Can you imagine the stories that God could tell you about growing up? Think about that for just a minute. The Creator of the universe. Incline your ear to Him and say, Dad, just tell me something. And imagine what kind of things He could begin to whisper in your ear. I guarantee you would start with, Son, I love you. That's our Father. That's our Dad. If we get that relationship, you'd be surprised the life that you can have. You could be surprised what God would do in your life. Be surprised how many times you get this warm, fuzzy feeling that you think maybe your hormones are just going crazy. You're getting ready to go through menopause. When it's God wrapping His arms around you saying, I love you. You say, oh, you're just trying to be funny. You'd be surprised how many times God just gives us a hug and we pass it off as a hot flash or something. We don't always understand what God has done. He doesn't always move and give us thousands of dollars. Sometimes He just puts a penny in our way. That says, in God we trust. God blesses us, our Father. I keep saying God. Our Father blesses us so many ways that we miss. I got off work this morning. It was pouring down rain. And it wasn't until I got to church this morning and somebody mentioned it that I realized today turned into a very beautiful day. And our Father did that for us. I missed it. I was too busy trying to make sure I was going to preach the right thing and trying to figure out how I was going to get back home to take me a nap before I go to work. And I about missed a blessing to God. And I thank you for pointing that out to me. The small things that the Father does. Maybe putting that little song in your heart that you just can't get out of your head. That you think it's going to drive you crazy. But you'd be surprised how many times my days go bad that a song jumps into my mind and I start singing that song. And just kind of problems seem to fade away. The little things that we just pass off. Little gifts from the Father. Just simply saying, Son, I love you. I'm here to take care of you. Let's all stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.